You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I want to talk about what it's like to be a woman, what it's like to try to balance a lifestyle, whether that's career and family, spirituality, and the list goes on. You know, and I find oftentimes in this life that we're living and in this world that we're living in, there's a tendency of having and feeling as though we're comparing ourselves to others. We're looking at their successes and judging our success by that. And I also find that the judgment is always really tough on the individual that's judging themselves. One thing that I've done past years and years and years, and I've dealt with this in my own self-esteem and worked on it myself, is that I realized that I had to let go of judgment in my life as much as I possibly could because I was never going to be good enough. And I find that this applies to women and men both, but I think for women in a career position, wanting to do everything, have a family, have a career, and really thrive, that type of judgment is something that we deal with in our day-to-day life. Joining me live in studio is a good friend and somebody I definitely look up to, Kathy Fielder. She's an entrepreneur, a female entrepreneur, and a lifestyle and design expert. And she's here to join me in studio to discuss this issue, how she deals with it, what she's done, and how she's moving forward in her life and creating her own path. Kathy, it's so great to have you in the studio. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's so great to be here. Always love spending time with you and chatting.
Awesome. Yeah. I like that. At least you're not like, God, I don't want to be here. This is horrible.
Yeah, I was like so excited to get here and just like have a conversation about these issues. They're really relevant and they touch on every single woman I know. You know, we're all dealing with these struggles and trying to figure out how to put it all in a perspective and wrap it up into a healthy package so that we can be the best people that we can be, right? And so, and it's such a relevant issue for today, whether you're a mom, you know, you have a family, you have a furry family, right? Because we have furry family members too that we need to take care of and nurture. And so there's all these things that we put pressure on ourselves about that we want to try to figure out a good solution and how to be healthy and the best us that we can be. And so it's really good to talk about it and address it. And, you know, I think hearing other people talk about their struggles is one of the best ways to kind of say, oh, you know what? They're going through it too. And it's relatable and it's relevant.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, I know, Kathy, it's interesting, you know, from your background, you know, being a designer and working in textiles and that type of industry as well. And I'd like you to tell our listeners a little bit more about that because, you know, first off, you don't really think there's not a lot of women. I mean, there are women, but there's not a lot of women. It's not a heavy driven woman's industry.
True.
To begin with. And then I find, too, that, you know, we'll talk about this later on in the hour, that a lot of us felt like we had to skimp on something, you know, whether it was the career or whether it was the family or whether it was the marriage. And, you know, another reason why I really wanted to connect with you on this conversation is that from the outside looking in, you haven't had to skimp. Okay. You have the family, you have the kids, and I just want to know more about how you did it. So first off, let's go back to your industry. You know, let's talk about a little bit about that because I don't find that to be a really women's driven industry, to be honest with you.
Well, it's not, you know, and I think there are a lot of industries that are male-centric. Certainly mine is one of them, but many of them exist. And, you know, it's a proven fact that women who aren't necessarily an entrepreneur, but they're an executive, are repeatedly paid less and less than a male executive, right? And so, you know, the fact that I happen to be in a very male-driven industry, in particular manufacturing, you know, I wear a lot of hats, so, you know, blogger, but my industry of manufacturing and having the longest running bedding collection at Neiman's and Horchow that I manufacture here in Dallas has taught me volumes on, you know, my insecurities, what I'm made of, what I can move forward with. And, you know, yeah, when you outside looking in, it looks like I have it all put together, but no one has it all put together. Every single one of us wakes up, no matter how successful we are, not successful we are, no matter, you know, how confident we are, the doubts we have about ourselves at the end of the day. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where you go, hey, am I doing the best that I can do for me? Am I working as hard as I can? I'm committed to being a better person, being better for those around me. And so at some point, you just have to give yourself a break. And it's hard. You know, I still wake up and go, oh my gosh, I can't get this all done. I can't get everybody to school on time and have the same two shoes on and the same two earrings on and actually look put together. So we all sit there and we doubt ourselves, whether we're in a male-centric, male-driven industry or not. And so the question isn't, are we doubting ourselves? But the, or, you know, are we measuring up? The question, I think, for me to move forward and be better and more successful is, how do I tell myself, you know what, I'm okay. And it's okay to doubt, because, you know, you can doubt, everyone's going to doubt. But at the end of the day, if you don't like quell some of that doubt and say, yeah, but I'm doing pretty good here, or, you know what, I did get two matching shoes on today, so I've got to be doing something right, and move forward with that kind of attitude. So, you know, I think it's one of those things, is your glass half full or half empty sometimes?
That's a really good point. You know, I think some people that are probably listening to the show right now woke up in a panic at 3 a.m, you know, worried.
Did. You did? Of course. Oh my gosh, I forgot about Harrison's birthday party, my son. His birthday party, and I forgot about the cake, and I didn't get it, you know, finalized, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, my kid's not going to have a cake. But then I thought, oh, I can get one at Whole Foods. It's going to be okay, right? And he had no idea what that cake was going to look like at the end of the day, so it'll be fine. And so I think it's like, how you address these stresses that hit you and how you understand how to make, you know, you just make your, you put yourself together and go, okay, it's okay. It's okay.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting too, is I feel, you know, when you have media and social media, and I want to talk a little bit about that. Yeah. It was interesting. I put out a post recently and I said something about comparison. And you know, I said that, you know, comparison really does steal our joy. However, it's very hard to stop doing it. And it was interesting, the dynamic and the responses that I received, because you had some people that were automatically like, almost like, there's no way, I never compare, I'm never comparing. And then you got people, and I'm like, oh, come on. And then, I mean, I'm, let's be honest. I mean, I love y'all, everybody that said that, but come on. I mean, if you haven't compared yourself ever, I mean, I'm going to give you a medal of honor. You can come in here and be on the show anytime you want, because to my life, that's just not my reality. And then you had some people that said, you know, that really connected with me, because I do compare myself. And I think whether it's a job, or we compare ourselves to a supervisor for some folks, or we compare ourselves to somebody that seems to be raising the perfect family, or someone that seems to have the perfect husband or the perfect wife. And I think that social media is perpetuating the comparison factor, because we look at people on social media and what do? We look at their pictures, we look at their family, or maybe they got an accolade at work. Maybe they were like the bestseller and da-da-da-da-da, the triple diamond, yeah. And you go, my God, look at that person. They got it all together.
Well, and you know, it's funny, I have commentary, or not funny, but I have comments, you know, in my feed that say, oh my gosh, you never take a bad picture. And I always make sure to respond and say, you know what, I take lots of bad pictures, I just don't post them. You know,
that's hilarious.
And so, you know, and that's exactly the point you're making, is nobody's posting the bad pictures where one eye's half shut or you look like a squirrel who with their eyes squinting, right? You're posting pictures where you look your best and are putting your best foot forward. And that's okay. That it's a, you know, there's a confidence builder in that. When you see something that you've done and you see it, you know, there's a value in that with social media. However, your point is absolutely true. You know, I mean, I have a decent amount of followers on Instagram, and every time that I, you know, find 2 seconds to scroll, I see someone who has triple that. And, you know, she's 20 years younger and she's, you know, doing wonderful, amazing, super cool things and monetizing her Instagram more than I'm monetizing my Instagram. And you think, gosh, what could I do better? But then at the end of the day, you know, I think it's one of those things where you just have to, again, go back to, I am doing my best. There's nothing, once you know that there's nothing that you could be doing better, and you've really said, okay, because let's look at it this way. If you want your feed to be better and you want more accolades at work, then you have to put the process in place to be successful. And so, you know, it's really understanding that success doesn't just happen. It's hard work. And it's one of those things, those beautiful feeds that I'm talking about, those girls or guys are, it's work. It's not glamorous. It's a lot of work. And so it's understanding that behind pretty pictures goes a lot of different elements to make that picture, and being very dedicated to the task. And so, you know, I think, but to your point, when we all sit there and we scroll and we feel a little bit down, like, what do we do with that? I mean, what's your suggestion? Tell me what you do. Like, when Ashley goes, oh gosh, what do you do?
Oh my God. Yeah, I had a painful wake up one day. It was funny. This happened about, I think it was several years ago. I can't remember the exact date, but there's a late night talk show guy that I really like. And on the same day, we both did the same thing at the same time. So
right. He
went on national TV and said he had a bandage and everything on his nose. And he had done what I had done. I think I had done it about 6:30 in the morning. And I think it would have been about the same time in New York. Anyway, I was looking at Instagram in bed. It's like 6 in the morning. You know, it's dark in the room. I'm holding my phone and I'm looking, I'm going through Instagram and I'm like, holy crap. And I started seeing some of this stuff and I forgot I'm holding my phone and I dropped it right on my nose. And I was like, oh my God, I almost broke my nose. And I really thought I broke it. And I already had surgery
twice. I've
done
that. It's true.
Did you break it?
No, but it was so painful.
Oh my God.
I know.
I thought I broke it.
There's nothing worse than getting hit in the nose.
Doing and I was like, whack. I was like, oh God, I should know not to compare myself on Instagram anymore. But it happened and it was painful. But what it woke me up to realize after I freaked out and went to the doctor, because I'd already had two surgeries done, because I'd broken my nose twice, motorcycle thing and something else, won't go into that right now. But I was like, oh my God, I'm in the fight club. And he's like, Ashley, third time is not a charm. Okay, he's like, really? But I didn't break it. But when I came to, I mean, from that reality of shock, I realized I am wasting my time looking at other people, trying to figure it out. And then I realized that I am literally judging myself on what is probably the best thing they're doing in their life. And I'm seeing myself as being the absolute worst in my life. I'm not looking at any of the stuff that I'm doing good at.
Right.
I'm not looking at any of the stuff that I'm grateful for. And I'm really feeling like a freaking loser. And I realized, I was like, this is your wake-up call. You almost broke your nose again. You almost had a third surgery, which is not good because we've all seen Michael Jackson. You don't want to keep doing your nose surgery. But I realized at that point that what I was comparing myself to was images. And image is image. And it's not the reality. And I think, Kathy, you and I both know, we have folks that we absolutely adore, but what we believe their life to be when we believed in this whatever that was,
right?
And then when we entered their life, and I think you've been there before where you go, whoa,
you know,
the wheels come off, but you realize we were looking at an image.
Absolutely.
We weren't really even listening to what they had to say, because whatever they were saying, we just made it into rose-colored glasses because
right.
we just saw the image and we go, oh, their life's perfect. But what they were really telling us is that, no, my life's not. And
right.
what I'm portraying here is what I'm portraying.
Well, and you know, I think it's important to remember that fairy tales don't exist.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
And so, and they don't. And a true fairy tale is one of those things where you're kind of working through life and the nuances of life and the things that matter and getting basis and understanding out of that. And so, you know, your point is exactly right. I've absolutely walked into places where I thought it was the perfect marriage, the perfect home, the perfect this, the perfect that. But, you know, when you sit and you start to listen, you realize, hey, we are all struggling with something, mm-hmm. multiple things, right? You know, and so it's understanding the people that are embracing those struggles and figuring out solutions are finding success. And it shows up in an Instagram feed. It does. And so, you know, I think it's remembering that no one has the perfect life. I don't have the perfect life. I face challenges daily. I mean, this morning I walked in here breathless because I've been, you know, sitting there working on my manufacturing division and figuring out solutions for issues with getting product in. And so, you know, and I would have probably liked to have done an hour and a half workout. You know, I look at all the moms who you know, work from home and as a stay-at-home mom, which those are valid working women as well, the women that run their households well, they work very hard to create a home and an environment for their kids, you know, and I watch them like walk their kids into school and I know they're going to the gym. And half the mornings I'm thinking, if I could get to the gym this month, you know, and I'm comparing myself to them because I'm thinking I need to work out. I need to work on my core. I need to be more engaged, you know, but I can't always get there. And so, again, it all goes back to the same thing as we're all looking around at everyone else and trying to figure out how we can be more compared to what they show us on the outside and not what they're really feeling on the inside. And so, you know, one thing that I did want to, I was thinking whenever you were talking about looking at the feed and the guy in New York and all this stuff, you know, one of the shifts I've tried to make is if something like that happens to me, you know, some awesome, cute little blogger who's got this amazing feed and I'm just so impressed with her says, basically shows the same thing as what I've just shown, I think, gosh, I'm really on trend. So it's kind of flipping your mentality to think the good stuff about me and trying to find the good stuff about yourself. And rather than saying, well, gosh, you know, why am I not as big as that person? And, you know, but I mean, I was kind of thinking the same way. So that there's value in that.
Well, and I think also the comparison factor is something that I think we were almost raised to do.
Absolutely.
You know, genetically as predisposed, women, right?
Undoubtedly as women, and probably men too, honestly.
Yeah, I do think to some degree with men too.
I agree.
But I also think it was like family dynamic and upbringing, and I think for our family, I know for a fact that my family, I love my family, but they've done a lot of comparison. You know, and I would remember when I was a kid when they would compare, you know, anything. Career, anything, car, you know, I remember, you know, thinking at the time I didn't understand, you know what I'm saying? Because when you're a kid and you're seven or you're five, you don't realize that, you know, the Datsun or the Nissan or whatever is like not a really great car. You know, you just know that it's mom's car, you know what I'm saying? But it's an interesting thing when you get that process as a child. And then I think it also kind of goes back to how we're almost raised by that illusion of what people have versus what we don't. But I think there's a correlation between, and let's see how this works. I think there's a correlation between words and actions. Because just like we compare in this lifetime to other people, we compare to their images, we have a tendency of accepting someone's words as golden, even when they're not, and we don't see the action. So it's almost like we're backwards on this stuff. Like instead of being grateful and seeing what we have, and we don't see it that way, right? We see what we don't have, just as if when somebody's telling us how much they love us or care about us, but they just stabbed us in the back. That's also something I find very interesting. And I think it's the way that our society has been driven. And I think it's the way that we were raised to believe in what somebody says and not necessarily look at their words, and also to look at what other people have instead of really being able to look at what you have and possess that and be happy with it and feel grateful for that. Does that make sense?
Well, for sure. And, you know, Instagram feeds are, I mean, as a mom of a 15-year-old and a now 7-year-old, Harrison turned 7 yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Yay, Harry. You know, I think it's one of those things where how do you teach them materialism? You know, there's YouTubers that have a million followers and are talking about the Ferrari they just ordered. And, you know, this is their fifth one and they're 23 years old. And, you know, and so it's how do you, and this goes for whether you have kids or you don't have kids, you know, understanding that a possession doesn't validate you at all. It while it feels great and it's fun, it certainly does not give you any sort of validation other than the fact that you have somehow made enough money that you can go out and hopefully afford, because not everybody can who's buying a Ferrari, right? And hopefully afford this amazing car. And so, or whatever, you know, this big old ring or however you define success, right? Mm-hmm. But success is not in stuff. That's the one thing that I try to share with my children, my staff. It's not in stuff. Success is whenever at the end of the day you get into bed and you feel really, really proud and really confident of the hard work you've done that day. and how you feel good about yourself because you've made a difference and you've made an impact. That's success. Now, goals for stuff are really important, right? Because you have to have a goal set in order to get to your destination. If you don't know where you're going, you cannot get there. So that stuff in today's culture has been misrepresented as a validation of self. But in actuality, I feel like that stuff is what you get when you set a goal and you achieve something. And so I think it's important to kind of remember that and understand the principles of success remain the same over generations. You know, they may have to be altered to be relevant in today's culture, but at the end of the day, a principle of success is a principle of success. When I was 23 years old, I set a goal to read 50 books in 1 year. And I read a book a week on being more successful, better thinking, being kinder to people, how I could be more. Because at the end of the day, you know, I think we have a lot of people who don't necessarily understand that I am the master. Not a lot of people, but I mean people who don't understand. I am the master of my universe. I get to take control of it. I am in charge of it. I'm not a victim. I am a person who can make my own decisions and move things forward in a productive and successful way. And I think we have to remember that. That's a sense of empowerment, knowing that you're not a victim of what's around you, but you are empowered to make things happen for you and for others is really, it's a confidence builder.
I agree with you. And I like what you touched on with that because it's something I work on, you know, being a therapist and working with clients. One of the biggest things is helping people realize that they don't have to perpetuate the victim identity. And a lot of times for anybody that's listening right now that's dealt with this, one thing that I've realized in life is that we get this part in this play and we get on stage and this is called your life and you get on there and you have these interactions with family and these types of dynamics. And then if you have been the victim for a very long time, you begin to play that out. That's your role. You get typecast in it. And as you're typecast in it, you keep doing it over and over again because it's normal. It's not healthy, but it's normal. But there comes a time when we have to let go of the old typecast role and say, hey, I'm tired of being typecast. I'm tired of this because it's not that other people are typecasting you. It's not that you have some sort of agent that says, okay, you have to play the victim again. It's time to play the victim. It's actually you typecasting yourself. And I understand it can be hard to let go of old intent and old thoughts and old ways of doing things. But if you feel like things are happening to you, and you don't feel like you have the power over it, I want you to begin to ask yourself, what can I do to feel powerful? But I think, Kathy, it goes back to our mindset. And anytime you have a negative, self-deprecating, lower self-esteem mindset, that's going to keep anybody in the victim mentality.
Of course.
And you have to be aware of that. And that's what's so powerful. But being aware of it means what? It means being mindful.
So, you know, something just occurred to me as you were saying that. It almost feels like a habit, mm-hmm. right? It's a habit. Now, I understand there are other, you know, influences that can, you know, perpetuate that. It could be chemical or these sorts of things and you know. But, I mean, at the end of the day, how do you break a habit? But a habit of being the victim is, I would think, and this would be where your advice comes into play, would be a very hard habit to break. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how, and again, this is where your expertise comes into play, but I would think that it's baby steps to start to break bad habits, right?
Right.
You know? And they say you can build it takes 1 day to break a habit, but it takes a month or two, and in this case, maybe even longer, to build a healthy habit, right? You go work out at the gym, and you go all the way to the holidays, and then all of a sudden you don't go for a day or two, and somehow in January you're not back at the gym, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I think that's a good, you know, advice and guidance to give someone is, how do I start to break a bad habit that's tearing me down and not letting me be the best person I can be? What are the baby steps that start that, you know, and understanding the work and diligence it takes to continue breaking that bad habit, you know, things like being the victim, that's embedded in you. And maybe sometimes from things that happened to you as a child,
Well, you know, it's your go-to. And that's the thing, right, is that there was an interesting, I had an interesting meeting the other day with a client, and they said, you know, my go-to response when somebody's yelling at me or angry with me is I cry. And I begin to cry and I can't stop. And I said, well, how long, when did this begin? We go back all the way to the beginning of time for them, and we go back to mom and dad issues. And what was happening is there was a really critical, abusive mom and dad family dynamic. And so anytime there was yelling and screaming, because this person was a baby and a child at that point, and the child had no like weapons of mass destruction, you know, there was no like laying down the law, there was no like, you need to be quiet. It was more like, all I can do is cry. And so what happens is that becomes your defense mechanism, that becomes your go-to, and then you cry. And then now when you're in your 30s and you're dating somebody or you're married to somebody and somebody says something that upsets you, what do you do? And what I've realized, though, is there's a trigger there, okay? The trigger that reminds you of you being the victim child back in the day, back with mom, back with dad, and you have to catch that trigger before it triggers you into crying. And what I know to be true is that there are thoughts that come into your head. So the thought comes in right when the argument's happening, and your thought comes in and it's like, oh God, oh God. And it's like this agonizing, painful, I'm not worthy, I'm powerless. And usually it's like a powerless or something like that connects, and then that's when the waterworks are about to begin. Okay, but when you can catch that and say, that's not a true statement, that's not true, I am powerful, I'm just as powerful as everybody else in this room. It's not like they made superhumans and they're like, okay, you're a sub, no, you're not a super, you're below that, you're a 5, they're 10, so you gotta stay in your lane. Everybody's the same level, so they can't be powerful over you. And so to know that that's a false statement, and I think when you stand your guard and you're like, you know, like the castles in the moat, when you realize that you gotta guard the castle and you gotta figure out, what am I letting into the castle? That negative thought process is the ding, ding, ding. Right when you catch it, that's when you say, okay, no, that's not a true statement. And I think if you begin to do that over and over again and say that's a false statement, those false statements quit controlling you.
Well, and I think, you know, a great point here is you've got to be really present and know yourself.
Yes.
Right. And so you've got to start understanding who you are, what drives you, what shuts you down. What makes you better? What makes you worse? And that's being very present. You know, I'm sitting here. I have my daughter, 15-year-old, you know, sending me text messages like, mom, 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 you know? I mean, so my life is, she's needing information from me. And I'm like, Bella, I'm on a talk show. I'm live. I can't really talk to you right now. She's like, it'll take 2 seconds, you know? But it's understanding, A, sometimes that you can field more than you think you can. And believe,
that's true.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I literally, my assistant Chandler and I joke all the time. I mean, I just have stuff coming at me continually all day long. And it's wearing 50,000 hats from mom to wife to making sure the kids are picked up from carpool to making sure that we just got that shipment from China. And I've got a Skype coming up from India, you know, and it's crazy. It's insane. And there are times when I literally feel like I'm spinning through the universe. And I have to realize and recognize that feeling and go, you know what? I will be okay. I need to breathe. I need to focus in, and I can only do what I can do right now. Right. And I have to tell everyone else to wait. So if I go crying is what sets me off, and I get to know myself well enough to know that's what's triggering. It's not the external things that this guy that I'm dating or my husband have done, but that's a trigger for me, then I have to learn to get strong enough to feel empowered enough to work through that trigger and understand how to handle it. You know, I mean, one thing that I've started, and this is kind of a solution that I think is so effective, is doing guided meditation.
Oh, yeah.
I've been doing guided meditation for the past month or so, just to kind of balance out the hecticness and the craziness. Is hecticness a word?
Let's make it one.
It's now a word. It's a KF word. So, but you know, I think it's one of those things, you know, I realized that I felt like I was spinning more than not and needing to find a way to get balanced and centered. And so I started searching. And for me, meditation was a great way to do it. And a guided app, I used the app Calm, which is fantastic. And, you know, I use it sometimes to go to sleep. And now even my 6-year-old, or now 7 yesterday, he'll say, hey, can we listen to that woman's voice? Like, he loves it. It relaxes him. It calms him down. So I've given him the gift of understanding that this is, there's value in meditation and helping him to understand that sometimes if you just can't sit still and you really feel like you're just careening out of control, that, hey, take a minute and get yourself centered. And so I think it's really understanding who we are, what drives us, what triggers us, but that really takes a huge amount of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. And it begins with, you know, I know when people say, oh gosh, well, I should have had all this stuff done. I have this huge amount of self-awareness, but you know, it starts just beginning. You got to begin somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's realizing the thoughts in your head and slowing it down. And I really advocate journaling. I know that I've advocated this in my office multiple times. And the funniest thing is when you advocate this, and more men than women go, oh God, you gotta be kidding me. I'm not gonna journal. I mean, what are you asking me to do?
Write out my thoughts? I actually kind of thought that whenever you said that.
You did, didn't you?
I did. Well, because usually if I'm writing something, it's an email.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but again, it's, yeah.
Yeah, see, I was actually tuned into Kathy's mind, and so I was just telling you what she was thinking. Like, but yeah. See, that's the key, and it's like, but when they start doing it, I've had clients that go, I can't stop.
Right.
Because I finally let all this crap out of my brain.
It's a self-awareness.
Yes. Yeah. And you got to slow down the mind, because I don't know if you've been to the grocery store where you show up. Usually when I'm at the grocery store, it's 30 minutes till they close, you know, and they're always like, hey, Ashley, what's going on? I'm like, hey, good to see y'all. And I'm like, I don't have anything written down, but I know I got to get like these 8 things. Well, I don't know about y'all, but those 8 things aren't gotten. Okay, I get whatever I remember. I get in the car. I drive down the street and I go, oh, crap.
I forgot it.
See?
Yeah.
And think about if you got 8 things going on in your head about different thoughts in your head, about success, not success, about, you know, responsibilities. You're not going to remember all that. And one thing is that you're not going to be aware of everything that's being said. And so when you journal or you meditate, meditation is a great thing because it slows your brain down. And we stop being monkey-minded, you know? But that's also about literally seeing your thoughts and letting them go. And that's what I work on with clients, not in meditation, but just in daily life.
Right.
Because it's powerful.
It is powerful.
Because our thoughts become the laws of the land. And that's the thing that is really troubling, when the laws of the land are really damaging.
Absolutely. You know, and again, I think this goes back to kind of one of the places that we started. You know, self-talk and the thoughts that we're having about ourselves can either lift us up and make us better, or be really detrimental on where we want to be and where we want to go, or how we want our Instagram feed to look, right? You know, and so I always say, and this saying's been around forever, you get what you say, you do. And whether you're saying it out loud or you're saying it in your head, you get what you say. I mean, it's one of those things that the universe, however, the energy, whatever you're putting out there, it's going to come back to you. It is. And so you might as well just take it. And even if you don't believe that, why not take a gamble? Because what could it hurt?
I agree.
Right? You know, what can it really hurt to just train yourself to speak positively about yourself, about others? And I think that's a key thing as well. You know, really train yourself to think positively about those around you, those you're dealing with. You know, I try to assume that people are going to do the right thing and want to do the right thing, and we can work on solutions together. Now, are people perfect? No. Do they make bad calls sometimes? Yeah, I know I do, for sure, 100%. But at the end of the day, I think that as a human race, we are trying to do more, be more helpful. You know, I look around at just extraordinary things that happen around me just from human kindness. And so, you know, I think it's retraining yourself to believe in some of that, mm-hmm. and understanding how important it is and how it does power you. You know, it's a lot easier to be nice than it is to be mean. And this goes back to the same concept, you know, positivity, thinking positive thoughts, being in the mindset that things are okay, you can work them out. And that doesn't mean that we live in like La La Land, where we understand that there aren't things that are going to happen. It's just knowing that at the end of the day, there are solutions for anything. And if you go about it with that mindset, then you really do have the ability to power yourself in a whole different and dynamic way. It really does make a huge difference on the way that you tackle issues and problems.
I totally agree with you. And I think a lot of times when you're saying, you know, it's easier to be nicer, it's easier to be nice than mean. I think a lot of times we also, I mean, for the most part, and I'm not saying everybody across the board, I mean, there's some mean people out there, but anyway.
That's true.
I mean, you know, there's a few of you out there, and I'm just kidding. But there is. But, you know, I think a lot of times, though, when you're a nice person and you're a super sensitive person, there's a lot of super sensitive people.
For sure.
And that's an actual thing. I mean, you know, and that's totally cool, but you really internalize a lot of things. So I ask you right now, when we're saying that outwardly, that it's not, it's easier to be nice than it is to be mean, do that for you, okay?
Yeah,
don't
absolutely.
Just do that to the outside world. Sit there and look at yourself and go, hey, I'm nice to other people. Why aren't you nice to yourself? And that's something I find with superly, overly sensitive, which is not a bad thing. Being sensitive is not a bad thing, but it's also about equating the fact that I deserve to be happy too.
Absolutely.
And I should treat myself with respect as well.
Well, and you know, you can't make those happy around you until you're happy.
True.
Right. And so at the end of the day, and you are so correct, you deserve to be happy. I mean, you deserve to be happy. And I deserve to be happy. And am I happy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? No, I'm not. Am I mostly happy? Yes. Did I grow up that way? No. It's been, I've trained myself to have an outlook of positive, forward thinking, where I don't beat myself up as much as I, you know, I mean, but yeah, we all do it. We all have this. And it's not like I can say, well, she has a better life than me, so she's happy and I'm unhappy. At some point we have to go, this is my life. This is who I am. This is my baseline. And where do I want to go and how do I get there? And I can tell you, you can get a lot more done and have a lot more success and just in general have a lot more peace choosing happy over pissed off and angry and mad. That happiness has this way of growing itself inside of you and just streaming out of you and makes a very special impact on the people around you. And it's important. The world needs more kindness and happiness.
I agree with you. And you're right. I think a lot of times when people have undealt with issues, emotions, you know, the go-to emotion is anger.
Sure.
And you know, because when you think about it, you know, there's sadness, there's all kinds of different levels of emotion. But I think anger is the go-to because you can't really compute what the emotion is. And so I ask you, if you're dealing with anger right now, is to really look into that anger and ask yourself, where is it coming from? You know, why am I so angry? You know, and I remember when I was a kid, when I was younger, I was angry. I was an angry kid. I don't know about you, Kathy, but
I'm a very different person than I was when I was a kid.
Really?
Undoubtedly. And that's simply been by strategies that I worked hard to implement into my life. But yes, I would say worlds apart from who I was raised as, the family mm-hmm. that I grew up in. Not that they were bad, but, you know, it just was a different kind of thinking.
Right.
100%.
Yeah, different. It wasn't where you are now. And I think a lot of folks that are out there, you know, maybe you were raised in the dynamic and, you know, they did everything they could or what they knew to do. They didn't know. And some of you might have been in more abusive type family dynamics, which is a little bit of a different story. However, the anger and resentment is something that I had to learn to let go.
Well, you can't move forward until you start to address it.
No.
You just can't. And you just keep yourself in this vicious cycle of these emotions, anger, depression, you know, that's so much better than what I have. But and I think it's something very important to kind of talk about here is the courage it takes to address and move forward mm-hmm. from anger and all of these, you know, things. We all grew up with something. Right. And so it takes extraordinary courage sometimes, you know, depending on the situation that someone's moving forward from, to go, you know what, I want better for me than this. And it takes, I think, an understanding that you deserve better than this, because, you know, if you don't love yourself and grew up in a bad relationship or bad, you know, or in a bad home that, you know, define bad. I mean, obviously bad's kind of a you know.
There's a spectrum.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, at some point, you have to learn to forgive yourself and understand that it wasn't your fault and learn to love yourself, because you just can't move forward and you just deserve to have that feeling. I believe that we were made to have hope and to have love. And so at some point, you are the only one that's the master of your universe that can decide that for you.
I agree, and it has to be an implementation from you. So I totally agree with you on that. I mean, that's powerful. And anybody that's like sitting on the fence and saying, well, I don't really know what I want to do. You know, I've been in this position for a long time. You know, I think one of the things that I suggest is why not try the other way? I mean, you know, if that's working for you, okay. It's probably not working for you, but
yeah,
you
if
know,
you feel blissfully happy that way, then sure, don't try it. But that's a brilliant point.
And I think trying something else.
Absolutely.
You can always go back. You know, I mean, nobody's saying that this is a permanent. And I think one of the things, too, about life is that we got to get in the mindset that this isn't permanent. Okay. And a lot of us find the pain and the sorrow because we feel like we're in a permanent state. And unfortunately, it's not permanent. Fortunately, it's not permanent. So what I'm saying here is that what you're dealing with will change. It will go away. It will get better.
Well, and, you know, that's such a great point. Life has so many stages. You know, for example, just going back to me being an entrepreneur, you know, whenever 2009 happened and the economy crashed, oh my goodness. So an entrepreneur, I lost 7 figures in revenue in 8 months, literally just simply, it just all fell apart. And at that point, I was manufacturing luxury bedding. We still do, but I obviously manufacture more now currently. But, you know, I was sitting there thinking, this is the most desperate thing I've ever felt. Like to feel that there's no hope and there's no way to crawl out of this. And you think, oh gosh, well, it's just, you know, it's just money. But I mean, I think money, going back to the materialism we see, that drives so much of our anxiety in our culture. So much of our anxiety, right? I mean, and so, you know, I think if you take a look at, we all have big struggles and we all are sitting there at the end of the day in bed, stressed out and our minds are spinning and we're not able to focus in and really get to the issue at hand. And so, you know, journaling or meditation or whatever it is that helps you understand and refine these things so that you can move forward. Because that's the whole reason for this, is to move forward and to make you happier and to be a better you. And so I think it's so, so important to remember that, you know, because we run around crazy, especially this time of year with the holidays, right? You know, doing things and chores that don't really make us that happy. Oh, I've got to get them a gift because that's just what you do. Or I've got to go and get this errand done and I've got to throw this party and I've got to make sure that everything's perfect and this, that, and the other, right? And so we really, our head's spinning. And so if we don't take some time, and I was just saying whenever we sat down, I'm super sore because I started working out again. And I just told myself, I am going to spend this time on myself. I must have it in order to stay sane, in order to, you know, my health, in order to be able to focus on all the tasks I need to focus on, in order to focus on the people around me and be able to be the person that they need me to be, then I've got to take this time for myself. And so the same thing that we're talking about, you know what? Get to the root of the issue. It's scary. It takes courage, but you can, and you should. And what comes out on the other side, I will almost guarantee 100% that it's going to be extraordinary and amazing and better than where you started.
That's very powerful, Kathy. I'm so glad you came on the show.
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I know, just to sit here and chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah, you know, for everybody out there listening to the show, you know, it's all about just doing what's right by you and understanding that you deserve to have that.
Right.
And figuring out what that is. And I think we have to open our mind. And that's why this show is called Live Your True Life Perspectives, because we have to create a new perspective in our life, not something that we were taught or handed down.
But
it's
our perspective.
Something new. Exactly.
The one we formulate for ourselves that's effective and makes us into the best person that we can be. You know, and so everybody's got a different perspective, but knowing who we are and where we want to be and knowing that sometimes it's okay just to be in the moment and enjoy that perspective. It's okay.
I love that. Kathy, will you come back on?
Of course. I would love to anytime.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you heard it there. So we have that recorded. So I can't wait to have you back on. And in the meantime, for everybody out there, just remember, you know, I care about you and I want the best for you. And that's why this show is here, is to provide that information And, you know, if you're thinking about this stuff, just remember that you owe yourself this. You owe yourself to get to know yourself, because in the end, the last thing we want is a bunch of regret. We want to look at it and we want to say, man, I really got to know who I am. And you know what? I'm starting to learn how to love myself unconditionally. Stay tuned. We'll have a great show coming up for you next. And in the meantime, don't forget to live your true life. This has been Ashley Burtis with Live Your True Life Perspectives. I'll be back this time in 3 shakes.